Tim Groves, good morning.
Thanks for having me.
How would you describe the atmosphere right now for charter schools in Rhode Island?
I think it's an atmosphere of opportunity, really. My membership consists of 18 district and independent charter schools. Charter schools in Rhode Island serve about 4% of the public school population, 7,000-8,000 students. We know there's strong interest because we had about 13,500 applications for about 1,800 charter school openings this past year in the charter school lottery. So we know that at the family unit, parents are clamoring for public school choice.
But do you feel like public opinion is turning against you to some degree?
I think there's a recognition, a baseline recognition of the successes that we've had, and that charter schools are meant to be hubs of innovation in education, part of a progressive public education system here in the state of Rhode Island, and that there's a purpose for them to serve. I think, there's some questions about how they should be funded, and there's some tensions there in difficult financial times. But I don't think there's a pushback against the charter school movement in general.
And yet there also seems to be a strong sense among many residents that charter schools are growing too quickly and it's coming at the expense of traditional public schools. How do you respond to that criticism?
My response to that is really that it's a matter of perspective. I think certainly we want to sit down and review this. There was a Fair Funding Formula Commission that studied how charter schools are funded, studied how public district schools are funded. I think we need to look at the whole picture, how special education is funded in our state, how charter schools are funded, career and technical education. There's a recent Rhode Island Department of Education report on charter schools in 2014, and the local funding of public education in Rhode Island, just under $1.2 billion, only 1.9% of that goes to charter schools. So I think when we really look at it, there is not an inequity in terms of the number, the small number of students that are able to attend charter schools and the amount of funding that those charter schools receive from municipalities around the state.
And yet I think at least some residents are seeing their local school committees make choices that involve cutting programs, sometimes very popular programs, at the same time that they see new schools being built down the road. And there seems to be a sense that there's something wrong with that.
I think that in combination with the fact that demographically you're seeing shrinking enrollments, whether children are attending private schools, whether families are moving out of state, what have you, you're seeing shrinking enrollments and, the pressures that come along with that. The thing to emphasize here is that charter schools are public schools. And so taxpayers in a particular municipality, their money is not necessarily going to a public school building, to support this program or that program. It's going to support the public education of a child who resides in that town, be that at a charter public school or a traditional district public school. And I think there's consensus that that is a good thing. Those options are good for families to have.
Tim Groves, one of the critiques that you often hear of charter schools is that you're creating a parallel public school system. Is that true? Are you, in fact, attempting to build a separate public school system that is essentially exempt from any local oversight?
Elizabeth, I'm glad you asked that question because really nothing could be further from the truth. Charter schools are meant to be laboratories, to spark scalable solutions for improving public education in the state of Rhode Island so that we can have teachers attempting, new strategies around teaching and learning and sharing those out within the district so they can percolate through and disseminate through the entire system of public education. It's part of a transformative effort that is part and parcel of, not separate from, the system of public education here in Rhode Island.
And do you think charter schools are proving that promise to be, in fact, a reality at this point in Rhode Island?
Absolutely. We have many, many examples. In fact, during the floor debate in the House, Representative McBeth, who is a principal in Woonsocket, talked about her school's collaboration with the learning community in Central Falls and how reading scores had improved dramatically. The International Charter School in Pawtucket, it's a dual language program, and they're reaching out even as far as South Kingston to talk about, how to implement dual language programs. So I think there's certainly much more work to be done, and we're eager to do it. I know my members are eager to do it, but there are great examples of that collaborative process that are happening right here all over our state now.
When students do go to charter schools, there is taxpayer money that follows them from the state and from their local school district. So what is wrong with giving local elected officials more of a voice in the growth of these public charter schools?
We think that local choice, it doesn't get any more local than the family. And we would rather have parents, you know, rather than inserting another level of, political input into the process, we would rather have parents be able to make those choices and ride the Department of Education, where the experts reside, we think are capable of determining what a viable charter might be. The majority of our charter schools have a statewide catchment area. And under this, even the latest revision to this legislation that had been proposed, any charter school, approved charter school that was seeking to grow, if they had a statewide catchment area, would have had to get the approval of all 39 city and town councils across the state. So any one could have effectively had veto power over whether that charter could expand. And we don't see that as adding to the democratic process when you have a unilateral veto by any one of 39 local political entities.
Tim Groves, what happens now? Is this issue likely to resurface at the General Assembly, possibly in a special session? And what comes next for the charter school movement?
As a relative newbie to this, I'm going to defer and not try and read tea leaves, because I think I would be a little bit out of my depth in terms of what the legislature may or may not take up in September. We're certainly going to prepare to be part of a dialogue. The conversation needs to include a holistic review of how we look at public education and how we fund public education. And so we are going to be prepared to participate constructively in that conversation.
Tim Groves is the new executive director of the Rhode Island League of Charter Schools. Thanks for being here.
Thanks so much for the opportunity, Elizabeth.
Education reporting on Rhode Island Public Radio is funded in part by a grant by the Rhode Island Foundation, Rhode Island's only community foundation, and New England Institute of Technology's Center for Technology and Industry.